Hi, welcome to Picayune Conversations. I'm Calvin.
I'm Lindsay.
And we're here to have another little chit-chat about some things that may or may not be of interest to you, but are certainly of interest to us. We thought we would... We've been talking a little bit about what kind of content we want to create. Oh my gosh, that just sounded like such a...
He's such an influencer.
Yeah, I don't feel that way. But we... I had this idea to do this little mini-series on some emotions. I think emotions sometimes get talked about in this kind of interesting, somewhat interesting, but also somewhat unhelpful way. And we thought that maybe we could just talk about the perspective that we bring when we think about emotions, pass on some cool ways of thinking about things that have been handed down to us.
So we're just going to... Super helpful.
Yeah, so like each episode will just be devoted to like a different emotion. We came up with a few. So the question for you is, what is the emotion we're going to talk about today?
Let's do guilt.
You want to talk about guilt? Okay.
For no particular reason.
Yeah, are you guilty about something that we need to work through off camera or something?
No.
Okay. So where would you like to start in our conversation about guilt?
What if we define it?
Okay, fantastic.
In its adaptive form, which I'll have you explain in a moment.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the way that I remember it, as we learned it from Paul Rasmussen. Guilt is the relationship rule violation emotion. It's a long one. Relationship rule violation emotion. And the underlying belief there is I must hold up my end in relationships. So I love it. I love it. It's not a bad thing, yet feels bad. But it's also super adaptive. Like, we can make use of that feeling. And I can give an example once you maybe go through, like, what do we mean by, emotions are adaptive?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I think, if you listen to multiple episodes in this little mini-series that we're doing, you're going to pick up on this, that we don't think of emotions as things that happen to us. We don't think of emotions as diseases. We don't think of emotions as pathologies. We think of emotions as adaptive responses to challenges that life puts in front of us. And so, rather than thinking of emotion in terms of, how we experience it, where we feel it in our bodies, all of which, by the way, are perfectly fine things to think about, we're primarily thinking of emotions as what is its function? What is its purpose? What does it, if it's a tool, what does the tool do? What does it do for us? And so when you're talking about guilt, it's like guilt is an emotion that alerts us to the fact that we have broken a rule.
Yep.
Yeah.
A rule that you might not even know what that rule is yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think it's important that we mention this. Like, I know that guilt is unpleasant. Like, I don't like to feel guilt. I don't like to feel guilty about things. But if we imagine for a second a world in which just poof, we snap our fingers and magically there's no more guilt in the world, we are going to have an absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Of a planet, of a species, of because
sociopaths.
Yeah, because we're gonna be running around like crazy, breaking all kinds of, just doing what we want, and there's not gonna be any,
alarm bells.
Yeah, alarm bells are going off saying like, hey, you're not doing what you need to be doing. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. Now, that's not to say that guilt is all good, all useful, all the time, and that's maybe where we can kind of point our discussion. So I'm wondering if we could start by just. If you could give us some thoughts on what guilt looks like when it is really useful and helpful, how might that show up?
Okay. It's not where I was going to go, but I can wing it. Let's say I decide to make dinner and I use all the pots and pans. I chop up vegetables and all the little bits are on the floor. I don't clean up after myself. I've made a huge mess. And then my husband comes in and gives me kind of a scowl because he knows that, whoever cooks, the other person cleans. So that's his mess for later. And maybe I feel guilty, right? I feel bad. Like, the relationship rule is like I should not make messes and leave them for other people to clean up, right? Mm. But where it gets problematic, I would say, would be like if I were to say the relationship rule is I can never make messes. Like, that's not helpful. That's not helpful at all, because, you're allowed to make messes, but how is the guilt useful? It tells me that this is not okay. This is not meeting the demands of the relationship in a way that is socially interested.
Yeah, I mean, and so here's what's occurring to me, right, is that, there are some rules that we have that are really good rules, and there are other rules that we have that are just complete garbage. Like, you know, we and it's not that they're stupid or even malicious, but they're also unreasonable.
I have a good one for that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I had a client. This was like COVID-ish times. I think it was like kind of winding down. But my client and her best friend, they hadn't seen each other in months. So they had curated this really adorable girls' weekend, and she was on her way there driving, and she started to feel really sick. Like, really sick. And she even had to, like, pull over and, like, throw up. Of course, I'm thinking, like, oh, are you pregnant? But anyway, she decides to drive home, right? Mm-hmm. And she feels so, so guilty about it because it was just, it was going to be the best thing ever. And her friend really needed it. I think, like, somebody in her friend's family had recently died from COVID. So it was, like, it was a big deal. And she was feeling so bad about it. And I was like, well, like, what did your friend say? Like, how did your friend respond? Her friend was like, I understand. Thanks for not bringing COVID here, potentially, right? Like, we'll reschedule. Yeah. We'll figure it out. Thanks for, like, taking care of yourself, right? And I'm like, solid friend. Keep that one. Yeah. But also, I'm like, okay, so let's figure out what the relationship rule is. And what it boiled down to was, oh, the relationship rule is other people must always come before me in relationships.
Yeah.
And I said, yep. Do you like that rule? And coincidentally, what we were working on in therapy was like being assertive and like setting boundaries and taking care of herself. And she looked at me and started laughing. She's like, no, like, I don't want that to be true. I'm like, that doesn't mean they can never come before you, right? Like, that would be unhelpful. But like, most of the time, no, that's not how we want relationships to work. That's not like mutually respectful. You have to take care of yourself. And also, what you did was in the interest of others. It wasn't just in your interest. Yeah. So this guilt. And I was just like, stop it. You don't need it. It's not super useful here. You didn't do anything wrong because you don't even want that to be a relationship rule.
So I think one of the things that you're describing that is has been incredibly helpful to me in my work with clients who are wrestling with guilt feelings is just really the mere power of saying, hey, you're experiencing guilt. Guilt is our rule violation emotion. So let's ponder this for a second. What is the written or unwritten rule that you feel that you broke? And what's so cool about that, right, is that they sit there, and sometimes all it takes is that for them to say, or, you know, to recognize, oh yeah, well, that's the rule, you know, like, oh, I can never come before, like, my other people always have to come first. And then it comes out of your mouth and you're like, well, that's kind of silly, like, yeah, that's unreasonable, like, that's too much. And there is this thing now where, okay, I'm not saying that poof, then all of your guilt feelings go away.
Right.
But you have this method of then interacting with it.
With compassion and empathy.
Yeah, where you're like, hey, I get it. Like, I see where you're coming from. And also, this is unreasonable. Like, that's, I don't like that rule. I understand where it comes from. I get it. And also, I'm not going to run my life by that rule. That's not a good rule that I want to live by.
It's so empowering because, yeah, like, you get to approach it with curiosity, which brings up another good point. Like, the point of the miniseries also, I want to be like, I feel like when you feel an emotion that you perceive as negative, there's only like one of two responses. You're either like, ooh, I don't like that. Like, I'm going to go feel something else, mm-hmm, however you might do that. Or you look around at your life and you're like, my life's not like so bad, so it must be me. Like, the only conclusion is it must be a problem with me. And I'm like, I hate both of those. I want you to be able to feel a feeling, know what the purpose is, and be able to stop and get curious. That is so self-respectful, just to, like, yeah, turn inward and be like, how can I make use of this? Like, my body's trying to tell me something. I should probably pay attention.
Yeah, and I'm already thinking about these other conversations, yeah, that we're going to have, and I'm like, okay, just quick preview, okay? It's like, if you're anxious, okay, what's the threat?
Mm-hmm.
You're depressed. Well, what do you feel hopeless about? You're angry. What is it that you desire and feel entitled to that something else is getting in the way? Like,
yeah,
there are these kind of litmus test questions that aren't, I mean, again, they're not like fixes, but what they are, they're these avenues to understand ourselves and to be curious.
They're curious. Yeah. Curiosity tools is what I usually call them.
Yeah. Now, I can think of one other instance in which guilt, I think, can be really unhelpful. And I'm reminded of our friend Tim Evans. Sometimes he says it, and okay, maybe if he were to listen to this conversation, he's like, yeah, I'm not really sure you guys completely agree with where I'm at. But he points out that guilt often is a really useless emotion. And here's the way in which it can be useless, is that sometimes we use guilt in this way. It's not just that it's orienting us to, oh, you broke a rule, but it's also this, that we get to behave abhorrently. And then on the back end, we call upon our guilt. And what that does is says, well, I did a terrible thing, but also I feel so bad about it. And therefore I know that I'm a good person. And you probably both know people who do this, but also I can almost guarantee you, unless you are, you know, Jesus Christ himself, like, you have done this. You have absolutely, and that includes us. Yeah. We have done this. Where you like, have this value, and you kind of want to hold to this value, because that's what, like, good, like, this is, like, a good people value, you know?
Mm-hmm. Virtue badge.
Right, yeah. It's like, oh, no, like, I'm on the right side of history. I'm, like, you know, I mean, however you want to say it, I'm one of those good people, okay, in the world. But then the reality is that you run around doing a bad thing. And it's not just that you do it once, but that you do it over and over and over and over.
But you're sorry about it.
But you feel so terrible. Sorry. You know, you get sick to your stomach. Oh, you're so, so sorry. And I just feel like a piece of garbage and whatever. And what that's doing, right, is it's like if we think about the kind of like moral scales of justice, it just evens them out for us. You know, we feel like we're doing this little bit of penance with our guilt that equals out the scales of justice. And here's the reality about what that does, right, is that it allows us to keep our clean conscience while maintaining and really not doing anything about abhorrent behavior that we're engaging in. And it's very clever. It's incredibly clever.
You don't have to change any of your behavior.
And I think that there is great power if we want to really improve as people, not to be one of the good people, but to improve, that we besmirch our own clean conscience. This is language that we're borrowing from probably a whole bunch of people, but we got it from Frank Walton. Besmirching our clean conscience to say, you know, I keep saying that I feel terrible about that, but that is the fifth time I have done that this month. You know, oh, I feel so bad about yelling at my kids. Oh, I'm a terrible parent. And it's like, yeah, but you keep yelling at your kids and you're also really not doing anything about it other than just feeling bad. Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe a place where we can see the difference between useful and useless guilt is when it's useful guilt, it compels you actually to make a change, to set something right. And useless guilt is just, you just carry it around and you carry it around, you carry it around, you carry it around, and really nothing ever changes about your behavior, which kind of, it gives you the sense that maybe this isn't so much about getting you in line with a rule as it is about protecting your ego and your sense of being an excellent person.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you summed that up beautifully.
Well, it just
came full circle too. Look at how you completed that loop.
Yeah,
two people with ADHD bringing it home.
I just think that I think this is a really underattended to reality about guilt. You'll I don't know about you, but I will often have clients who will come in and they are just, well, how do they say it? Racked with guilt. I feel guilty all the time, feel guilty all the time. And it's so tempting to see that as virtuous, but not just, you know, in ourselves, but like as a therapist with a client, you're like, oh, but don't you see, it's just that you just have such a beautiful moral conscience, which is precisely the effect.
Yes, yeah. It like solicits this like, but remind me, I'm not a bad person. So then they're caring for you instead of you needing to do what you need to do to step up to meet the demands of the relationship.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And of course, we should be clear, right? We're not saying that if you do this, actually you are one of the bad people. Like, that's not the message. It's a very clever, very understandable, very natural thing to do. But it helps us to be honest about it, mm-hmm. to tell the truth about it, rather than trying to make it into something sexy or... does that make some sense?
Yeah, yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what else do we need to say about guilt?
I think we did a really good job this time.
I think we did, too.
I think we covered it, not
to
brag.
This is just remarkable that we are, you know, doing
this
quickly.
Because we're both exhausted after NASAP.
I think that's what, yeah, we were just at this conference down in Orlando, and I think,
exhausted in the best way.
We worked hard, we played hard, it was, and I will say the heat was a little oppressive while we were there.
100 degrees outside. 100.
Yeah. I thought, so we went to the beach with our friend Bruce, and Bruce is from England, and, you know, it gets warm in England or whatever, but I think Bruce kept looking over at him just thinking, he is sitting there thinking,
how do
people live here? Anyways, he was such a good sport. Bruce, if you're listening to us, we love you.
We do. We love you so much.
Okay, well, then we'll see you next time with another different emotion, and we'll have a very similar kind of conversation talking about the purpose, what we can do about it, how we can get curious, how we can be honest about what we're up to when we call upon those kinds of feelings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye.